ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ ह्रीं दक्षिणामूर्तये तुभ्यं वटमूलनिवासिने ध्यानैकनिरताङ्गाय नमो रुद्राय शम्भवे ह्रीं ॐ नमो भगवते श्रीमेधा दक्षिणामूर्ति परब्रह्मणे ॐ नमो भगवते दक्षिणामूर्तये मह्यं श्रियं मेधां प्रज्ञां च प्रेच्छस्वाहा ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ ॐ सदाशिवसमारम्भां व्यासशङ्करमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्तां वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम् श्रुतिस्मृतिपुराणानाम् आलयं करुणालयं नमामि भगवत्पादशङ्करं लोकशङ्करम् शङ्करं शङ्कराचार्यं केशवं बादरायणं सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वन्दे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ ॐ सहनाववतु सहनो भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः निषिध्य निखिलोपाधीन् नेति नेतीति वाक्यतः विद्यादैक्यम् विद्यादैक्यम् महावाक्यैः जीवात्मपरमात्मनोः सो महावाक्यैः महावाक्यैः मीन्स् थ्रू दि ग्रेट् डिक्लरेशन्स् आफ् दि वेदास् महावाक्यम् इस् सिङ्गुलर् वर्ड् महावाक्यानि प्लूरल् महावाक्यम् मीन्स् अ स्टेट्मेण्ट् विच् रिवील्स् दि ऐडेण्टिटि बिट्वीन् द इण्डिविजुवल् दि मैक्रोकास्मिक् बीङ्ग् and the total, the macrocosmic being, the Ishvara. Jiva Ishvara Aikya Swarupa Aikya Pratipadakam Vakyam. The sentence which reveals the identity between or the non-difference between the individual and the total. The individual Jiva and the total Ishvara is Mahavakyam. And we have, how many Mahavakyams are there? As I told you, there are many Mahavakyams in all the Vedas. In all the Upanishads, we have many, many Mahavakyams. But from each Veda, we take one and we take, there are four Mahavakyams. Really speaking, Mahavakyams are not just the four. There are many Mahavakyams. But we take the popular one, the sample ones we take from each Veda, appropriate, which really it is clear, is Mahavakya. We take four, from each Veda one Mahavakyam we take, like we have Aham Brahmasmi, Tattvamasi, Ayam Atma Brahma, Prajnanam Brahma. We have Mahavakyams. And here, this each Mahavakyam is from different Veda. The sample Mahavakyams are these. But not only these four, many other vakyams are there. But these four are known as, very well known as Mahavakyams. So through these Mahavakyams means Mahavakyaihi. Through this Mahavakyam, through the unfoldment of, or through the meaning of these statements which reveal the identity between Jiva and Ishvara, Mahavakyaihi. Jivatma Paramatmanoho Aikyam Vidyat. May one recognize or may one know, may one see the non-difference. Aikyam here means, you can say oneness or the non-difference. The oneness of Jivatma and Paramatma. Jivatma, the individual, and Paramatma, the total. So may one know the oneness of Jivatma and Paramatma. May one know the non-difference between Jivatma and Paramatma, the microcosmic being and the macrocosmic being. How can one know the non-difference or oneness of Jivatma and Paramatma, or non-difference between Jivatma and Paramatma? How can one know? Through these Mahavakyams. Through means what? With the help of the Mahavakyams. It means Mahavakyams, the proper unfoldment of the meaning of Mahavakyam will help one understand the non-difference between Jivaha and Ishwaraha, the individual and the total. So, with the help of Mahavakyams, or by dwelling upon the meaning of the Mahavakyams, through the analysis of the Mahavakyams, may one understand the oneness of Jivatma and Paramatma. This is the meaning of the second sentence. Jivatma Paramatmanoho Aikyam Vidyat Mahavakyehi. Through Mahavakyams, through the analysis of the Mahavakyams. We simply say, Tattvamasi. What do you understand? Not simply reading this Mahavakyam, by analyzing the meaning of the Mahavakyams. How, which means, you take the Mahavakyam, for example, the famous Mahavakyam, Tattvam Asi, and you take that Mahavakyam, and you see that the Tvam, the Tat is the first word, is the Tat, second word is Tvam, and Asi is the third word. And there, the Tat is a third person singular pronoun, which stands for Ishvara, the whole, the total, macrocosmic being. And Tvam is second person pronoun, singular pronoun, and which stands for, every individual is addressed by that pronoun Tvam, which means you. So the individual who is listening to the Shastram, and he is addressed here as what? Tvam, Tat Tvam Asi. So, Tvam stands for the individual, and Tat stands for, the third person singular pronoun stands for Ishvara, the macrocosmic being. And Asi Padam, Asi means R, A-R-E-R. That Asi Padam stands for the, actually that reveals the identity between this individual and the total. Which means, this is a Mahavakya, means here, individual, the limited individual is equated to the limitless total, the cosmic being, macrocosmic being. Equate, how can an individual which is part of the cosmos, part of the total, be equated to the total? The individual which is part of the total, is how can it be equated to the total, which is inclusive of the individual? Which means, it cannot be equated from the standpoint of because this difference is very much there between individual and the total. The difference is only from the standpoint of upadis. Upadis are there. The individual also has jiva upadis are there. Ishara upadis also there. From the standpoint of upadis, there's dif upadi means, hope you know this. I don't need to tell you what upadis are. So between the jiva upadis are different, Ishara upadis are different. So from the standpoint of upadis, there's difference between the individual and the total. But from the standpoint of the reality, the truth of the individual and truth of the total, there is only non-difference. Why? Because they are not two different things. The truth of the individual and the total is in fact one and the same. Therefore, the difference is from the standpoint of upadis, jiva, ishvara, upadis. The standpoint of the truth of jiva and ishvara, they are non-different, one and the same. This is how we have to understand the meaning, actually how in Shastra study it is properly unfolded. When you understand the meaning of each word, what is the Vachyartha of each Padam? Vachyartha means the primary meaning of each word we have to see first. The standpoint of the primary meaning of the words, there is difference. And from the standpoint of implied meaning, Lakshyartha, you have to see each word has a Vachyartha and Lakshyartha. The primary meaning, a literal meaning, and the implied meaning. Implied meaning also is there. So from the standpoint of Vachyartha, the literal meaning, the difference is revealed. The standpoint of the implied meaning, the non-difference is revealed. Only when you understand both this difference and non-difference between the Ishvara and Jiva revealed, you know, two different standpoints revealed by this Mahavakyam. When you analyze this, understand, take each word, understand what is the Vachyartha of each word and what is the Lakshyartha of each word, and thereby from the standpoint of which meaning and this non-difference, etc., we have to understand. This understanding of this non-difference from the standpoint of Lakshyartha is in fact Jiva Ishvara Swarupa Aikya Jnanam. So may one have this knowledge of the oneness of the truth of Jiva and Ishvara through the analysis of the meaning of these Mahavakyams. That is what is said in the second sentence. So, Jivatma Paramatmanoho Aikyam Mahavakyaihi Vidyat. And this Aikyam you can understand how you have to, before that what you should do, before understanding the Aikyam, non-difference between Jiva and Ishvara, we should know the what is the Lakshyartham of the Mahavakyams, isn't it? And to arrive, what is implied by these words, to arrive at that, you have to cognitively remove the upadis. See, when we have to remove the upadis, suppose if I say, oh, wave is ocean, if I say, of course, wave is ocean is an equation, it's a Mahavakyam, because that sentence reveals the non-difference between or oneness of wave and the ocean. But definitely wave which is part of the ocean cannot be equated to ocean. Wave is small and then ocean is big. Therefore they are different. And wave, that's why the names, two different names are used, because two different forms are also there. And of course one is different from the other. There's no difference. There's no doubt. But the difference need not be taught through Mahavakyam, isn't it? Mahavakyam only teaches something which is non-difference only. Therefore, that difference is there. But upadhi is, what is now, wave is a this form. The wave, the name and the form, upadhi. And then the ocean, the name and form also is upadhi. Upadhi of the individual with reference to ocean. Upadhi of the individual is what? Name and form, wave. What is the upadhi of the total with reference to the ocean? The name and form, ocean. So, upadhi, if I say, leave aside the upadhis and take the truth of both the upadhis, wave upadhi, ocean upadhi, if I tell you, can you remove the wave and ocean, push aside? No, you can't push aside, you can't remove them physically, but cognitively, you can minus, okay? Cognitively, you remove wave minus name and form is equal to H2O. Ocean minus name and form is equal to H2O. What do? It is not physical work, isn't it? Physically not removing anything. Cognitively, intellectually, you are removing the name and form and you take what is there is what? H2O. They are not two different H2Os. H2O is one and the same. This is how you arrive at the non-difference. In the same way, Tattvamasi also, when you say take any Mahavakyam, so what is Jiva? Jiva Upadhis and Ishvara Upadhis, isn't it? Jiva Upadhis are there. Ishwara Upadhis are there, and the Upadhis are different. So remove the Upadhis cognitively and take the truth. And why to know the truth of the total also? First of all, you have to know the truth of the individual, which is your own self. One has to know the truth of one's own Swarupam. And thereby one can know the truth of the total also. Then you can intellectually remove the Upadhis and see the non-difference between individual and the total. So for which to know the truth of oneself, what one should do? Definitely one has to negate all the anatma aspects of the individual. The individual is a composite of atma and anatma. Atma alone does not make the individual. Anatma without the atma also cannot make an individual. Individual means both atma plus anatma is equal to individual. So what is the anatma aspect of the individual? What is the atma aspect of the individual? What is the truth, isn't it? And anatma means, and the anatma, we have seen Tattva Bodha class also, we have seen three bodies or five layers of personality. Pancha koshaha, or the anatma can be divided into three bodies or five layers of personality, five koshas. And if you see, then we have atma. So then remove these, all anatma aspects are upadhis. Anatma aspects are the upadhis. Therefore he says upadhi has to be, so where should this, actually the what is the meaning of the word I? Where should the I be placed? In fact, what should the I be identified with? What should one identify the I with? Should I be identified with the body or the mind or the senses or the pranas or with all of them? Where should the I be identified with? Actually. So relatively, in keeping with in different contexts, you know, naturally one can have in transactional world, to transact in the world, one has to have identity with everything. But one should also know absolutely what this I is. One has to know that. Relatively what we are, we know. But what absolutely the I means. And you analyze this, you understand all the anatma aspects which serve as, which are upadhis, like the gross physical body, or the subtle body, sthula shariram, sukshma shariram, and even karana shariram, or you can say annamaya koshaha, or pranamaya koshaha, manomaya koshaha, vijnanamaya koshaha, anandamaya koshaha. All these are anatma aspects, are all actually objects of knowledge. Therefore, all of them have to be objects of knowledge, means they are different from the knower. The subject of knowledge is different from the objects of knowledge. The I actually happens to be the knower. I happens to be the knower, and I, the subject, am different from all the known objects of knowledge. That is how one has to negate all the objects of knowledge. Not only the things which are external to the senses or objects of knowledge, even one's own gross physical body, even subtle aspects such as sense powers, powers of organs of actions, physiological functions, and each thought modification which constitute the antahkaranam, the entire antahkaranam, all of them one can understand, analyze each one as what it is, and one can arrive at the fact that everything is negatable as an object of knowledge. And what cannot be negated? What is which cannot be negated? I. Everything can be negated because everything is an object of knowledge. What cannot be negated comes what now? I. So what is that I? Therefore, that which cannot be negated, is what now? The knower. And then who is the knower here? The knower actually, if you see, then what is the swarupam of this knower? Who is this knower? What is this knower? What is this I? What is this I? And you, at least first you, by negating all of them as non-self, as not I, you can understand the I being distinct from all of them. Then having understood I being distinct from all of them, even not distant but distinct, and then you see, then you take the I, what this I is, what this knower is. I am the knower. Everything else is object of knowledge. If I am the knower, what am I? Who am I? Who this knower is? What this knower is? If you analyze, then you understand what? You can resolve the very knower in pure consciousness. See, without distinguishing the I from the non-I, non-self, there's no way of arriving at what the I is. You have to distinguish it first. Which means the I actually is distinct from even whatever is negated, negatable. Whatever is an object of knowledge can be negated as what? Non-self, non-I, as the known. And what cannot be negated is what? I. Then I must be taken as what? The knower, the subject. Therefore, the I is not any of these things, but you use the expression I, you know there is I, but what exactly is I? Who this I is? Then that is when you arrive at, you can resolve the I in consciousness. As you can resolve the knower in consciousness. Knower is I am the knower, I the self, the knower, am consciousness. The understanding of resolving I, resolving the knower. Resolving means what? And you say, light is the, see this expression, huh? Light is the illuminator. When you say, in this sentence, you are resolving, illuminator is the light. Illuminator is the light. In this room, dark room, all the objects, now the room is illumined. Therefore, all the opaque things in this room are illumined. They are lit up very well. All the objects shine here. All of us can see each, all of us, which means there is an illuminator. And who is the illuminator here? And I say illuminator is the light. We say that sentence, illuminator is the light, means illuminator is resolved in the light. Illuminator being resolved in the light means illuminator and the light are not two different things. This, the sentence wherein one is resolved in the other, that implies what? The illuminator and the light being one and the same, not being two different things. The light is not there, illuminator will disappear. The light is there, illuminator is there. Light is not the illuminator, because light by its mere presence illumines everything, it is its nature. But is there an illuminator other than the light? No. Is the illuminator? Yes. Who is the illuminator? Light. If an illuminator is light, means you say illuminator is none other than light. There is no illuminator other than the light. That is the meaning. Okay? It is called resolving illuminator in the light. It is purely, you are resolving how? Intellectually, cognitively resolving. And then you don't need to talk about the illuminator at all afterwards. You arrive at what? Light. Okay, light is the substance. You used the word illuminator. used the illumination, used the illuminator word to arrive at the substance called light, then you resolve the illuminator. Similarly here also, we are not interested in knower. You have to use it. So Shastram teaches you the method. You have to negate all of them. You have to arrive at the truth of the individual. And the truth of the individual means the truth of the individual. Every individual has to arrive at one's own real nature, one's own swarupam, one's own self. What is the self? What is one's real nature? Which means then how you refer to yourself. Whenever you refer to your own self, you use the pronoun I, which means what this I is. And you have to discover what this I. First of all, you have to distinguish the I. I does not mean the body. I does not mean the senses. I does not mean anything. How will you know that? Because I am means I am the knower. And then everything else is object of knowledge. Therefore, anything which is an object of knowledge should be negated as an object of knowledge. Therefore, you understand the no, I, the knower, am not the known. Only for negation, purpose of negating, you understand, you do this. Not to talk about outward, I am not the body. You should never talk about it like that. Only for understanding. Then you negate, this Dikdrishya Viveka is, the Prakriya itself is used only to distinguish the I from the non-I. Not to say that I am not the body, etc. So definitely you say anything which is object of knowledge is negatable as non-I, non-self. Therefore, what cannot be negative at last is what? The I, the knower. And what is this knower? If I am the knower, what the knower is, what I am. Then you search for the knower. There's no knower other than consciousness. And you know, the knower is consciousness. I am the knower. Knower is consciousness. Therefore, I am consciousness. So, the truth of the individual is consciousness. And you take the Mahavakyam. And what is the truth of the whole is what? We say existence. And here, this consciousness alone, the one's own swarupam is consciousness. And this consciousness alone is pure consciousness, is internally available for recognition as what was manifest knowledge. I am. And the same consciousness is available for experience externally as manifest existence. What is available for experience externally as manifest existence is pure consciousness. What is available for experience as the manifest knowledge in the mind, in one's own mind, as I am, as manifest knowledge, is what? Pure consciousness. Okay, therefore, you understand this. First, you have to distinguish the I from the non-I. Then you negate, all the upadis. Then cognitively, intellectually, you distinguish the consciousness, isn't it? Leave all the upadis. That is what is said in the first sentence. So first sentence he says, Nikhila upadhin nishidhya. Nikhila upadhin nishidhya. Nikhila means all. All the upadhis, all these upadhis, all these anatma aspects, which are the upadhis for the atma. Nishidhya means intellectually, cognitively, no, negating them as non-self. How do you know negating nishidhya, leaving aside? No, removing, intellectually removing them, all the upadhis. What are the upadhis here? All the non-self, anatma aspects of the individual. Anatma, removing the anatma aspects of the individuals, which serve as upadhi, which are the upadhis intellectually. How? Na, na, iti. No, I am the knower. I itself am the knower. Am not the known body. I am not, I itself am the knower, distinct from the known senses. I am not the senses. I am not the, I itself am the knower, different from the known pranas, known mind. So, like it, neti, neti, I am not this, I am not this. Actually, I am not this means I is not the body. I does not mean, I is not the sense organs. I is not anything. It is called na, na, iti. Not. I am not this. I am not this. So, through negation, how do you negate all of them? By removing intellectually all the upadhis. What are the upadhis? Anatma aspects of the individuals. So, removing the upadhis, the anatma aspects of the individual, as I am not this, I am not this. Iti vakyataha. Removing this. Then you arrive at what? You arrive at I being distinct from all of them. And having distinguished the I from all of them, then you see what this I is. Okay, first, what is the first step? Negating the anatma aspects which are upadhis. Distinguish the I from the non-self, self from the non-self. Then you see what this I is. You can't, immediately you don't see what I am. No. First distinguish the I from the non-I. Then you see what this I is. Then you will stumble upon what? You first know, who is the illuminator here? Who is the illuminator? It's like exactly like this. All these objects are shining here. What is the illuminator? Yes. And who is the illuminator? Who is the illuminator? You see every opaque object here has been negated as what? Oh, this is illumined. This is illumined. Everything is illumined, illumined, illumined. And distinguish all of them. Then who is the illuminator? Then illuminator is light, you have to say. Similarly, what is this? What this I is, isn't it? So that's what nishidhya. Nikhila upadhin nishidhya. Removing intellectually all the upadhis, the anatma aspects, through negation as non-I, non-self. Then you arrive at what now? The self or I being pure consciousness. The knower being none other than consciousness. Then you add what? The truth of the individual. Thereafter take the Mahavakyam. Then take all the Mahavakyams, and through the analysis of the Mahavakyams, you can understand one has to arrive at the non-difference between Jivatma and Paramatma. Is it clear? So you cannot go for analysis of the Mahavakyam without having the truth of your own self, truth of the individual. So, to arrive at the truth of the individual, what should you do? You have to differentiate the Atma and Anatma, I and non-I. And having differentiated that, what should you do? And you have to say, the I am the knower and the Anatma is the known. And there again, you distinguish the I from the known Anatma. And having distinguished I, then you see what this I is. Only then you arrive at what? The truth of the individual. And having arrived at the truth of the individual alone, you can go for the analysis of the meaning of Mahavakyam. Then you can understand the non-difference between the individual and the total from the standpoint of the reality or the truth. Is it clear? The whole thing is said here. Very beautiful. Hope you saw that. How one should go for this analysis. The method is said here. what should be done first? Nishidhya. Nikhila upadhina neti neti iti vakyataha nishidhya. Nishidhya. Vidyat aikyam mahavakyehi jivatma paramatmanoho. What should be arrived at finally? Finally, one should arrive at the oneness of the individual and the total. Only then you can have what? Advaita Drishti. See, without having arrived at the oneness of the individual and the total, there is no way of resolving the universe in the reality. Non-duality of the reality can be established only when you can resolve the universe in the reality. And you can resolve the universe in the reality only when you resolve the understand the non-difference between the individual and the total. The two steps, isn't it? Resolving the non-difference between, understand the non-difference between individual and the total is the first step. And the second step, you resolve the entire cosmos in the same reality. Only then you have the vision of non-duality of the reality, Advaita Drishti. That is where your moksha lies, moksha is. And to arrive at that, to understand the non-difference also, you have to first understand the truth of the individual. And the truth of the individual can be arrived at only by distinguishing the I from the non-I. These are all the steps. What should be done first? You see that? Beautiful. So, he says this. Avidyakam shari Shariradi Drishyam Budbudavatksharam Yetad Vilakshanam Vidyat Aham Brahmeti Nirmalam Avidyakam Shariradi Drishyam Budbudavatksharam Yetad Vilakshanam Vidyat Aham Brahmeti Nirmalam. So Aham, actually again here you take the verb first, Vidyat. Vidyat means may one know. May one know what? May one know Aham Nirmalam Brahma iti. I am the ever pure, limitless consciousness existence. I am Brahman. I itself am the ever pure, limitless consciousness existence, or I am Brahman. May one know this fact. This is the fact. What one should know? One should know the fact. What is the fact? That one's real self is Brahman, the limitless reality. This is a fact. And how can one know this? How can one know this fact about one's own self being Brahman? He says, Vilakshanam. Vilakshana means distinct. One can know this fact, Aham Brahmasmi, only when one distinguishes oneself from the non-self. Thereby one knows, one arrives at one's own swarupam. One has to arrive at one's own real nature, one's own swarupam. If I say wave has to arrive at its own real nature, means what? Wave knowing its swarupam being H2O. See, where does this form and name wave exist? Where does it rise from? Where does it exist? And where does this name and form wave resolve? That is, what is the swarupam of the wave? Similarly, what is the swarupam of I? Aham. What is swarupam of I? Where, what is this I? Where does it rise? And where does it exist? And where does it resolve? What is this I? What is the swarupam of this I? The swarupam of I is what? No, you say Brahma. The pure consciousness is the real and the swarupam of I. I itself is what? Manifestation. I am is also what? Manifestation. Because it's knowledge. So this, what is this manifest knowledge? Is nothing but pure knowledge. Swarupam is pure knowledge only. When the I is not there, where is it? When it is not there, it remains resolved. What is there when I is not there? The knowledge I am, when it is not there, what is there? That is the soul, that is the origin of I. How to know where does the I originate from? To know that when this knowledge I or I am is not there, what is there? That Shastram helps you to arrive at it, isn't it? By analyzing the avasthatre prakriya, analyzing three states of experience, through the analysis of the three states of experience, Shastram helps you to arrive at that in deep sleep state, the knowledge I or I am is not there. When this knowledge I am is not there, when knowledge is not manifest, then what is there is consciousness. And the same, when knowledge is manifest also, what must be there? Same, consciousness continues to be there. Only, therefore, the manifestation of knowledge, the knowledge, whether it is manifest or it is not manifest, it is not outside of pure knowledge. Therefore, we arrive at the swarupam of I is pure consciousness. So, I am is manifestation of knowledge, and when the I is not there, what is there is pure knowledge. Is pure consciousness, which is this swarupam. So pure consciousness or pure knowledge is the swarupam of manifest knowledge. I. You arrive at it. So only when you arrive at the swarupam of the I, arriving at the swarupam of I, the real nature of I being pure consciousness is what? Is the, in fact, important for you to say later, Aham Brahmasmi. Without having a swarupam of I being consciousness, it is not possible for one to understand the fact that I itself am the limitless consciousness existence. Well, for one to understand, arrive at this fact that one's own swarupam is consciousness, one has to what now? Know what actually the I means. And for that, one has to distinguish the I from the non-I, non-self. So that's what he says. In the first line he says, that's what vilakshanam. Vilakshanam is what? Distinguishing the I from the self, from the non-self, I from the non-I, then one has to understand the swarupam of I, and discovering the swarupam of I being pure consciousness, One has to say what now? I am ever pure, limitless consciousness existence. One has to know this fact. And vilakshanam, it is distinct from what? That is said in the first verse. Avidyakam, avidyakam sharirādi drishyam. Avidyakam means what now? The products of avidya. Avidyakam means anything pertaining to avidya is called avidyakam. Matter. Avidya means what? Matter. Original matter, isn't it? So here, avidyakam sharirādi. Sharira adi shabda. Adi means etc. So adi stands for all the anatma aspects. Shariram means gross, tangible, perceptible, visible, gross physical body. Etc. means it you have to include what? All the subtle aspects, the imperceptible, intangible, sense powers, powers of organs of actions, physiological functions, antahkaranam, the entire mind, all the thoughts. Okay, all of them, sukshma, sthula, sharirani, are all the layers of personality, all this visible, perceptible gross body, imperceptible subtle aspects which constitute subtle body, all of them are avidyaka, means products of avidya, material products. Shariradi avidyakam is equal to the perceptible gross and imperceptible subtle aspects which call subtle body, all of them are material products. Therefore, the inert in nature. And all of them are drishyam. Drishyam means what? They are all objects of perception, objects of knowledge. Drishyam means perceptible, which means objects of knowledge. And because they are all products of matter, the material products and the objects of knowledge. Number one, material products. Drishyam, objects of knowledge. Therefore, what are they? Ksharam, the third one. Ksharam is the third nature of the... Ksharam means perishable. Perishable means what? They are subject to change. How they are perishable? Perishable means you should not think completely total destruction, not that way. Relative destruction. Ksharam means they are of the nature of undergoing change constantly, which means the names and forms are all impermanent. Ksharam means what? Perishable. Perishable means they impermanent. Impermanent what now? They are subject to change and modifications, which means they are not permanent, isn't it? Like what? Like he says, like water bubbles. What a buddhavat. All these material products, the gross body and the subtle aspects which constitute subtle body, all of them are as impermanent and as changing as the water bubbles. Buddhaha means water bubble. Buddha. Vat means like. They are like Buddhas. Buddhas mean they are like water bubbles. But means what? Water bubbles do come and water bubbles do exist and water bubbles do perish. Perish means what happens? They just go back to the same wherever they came from. Same way, is also all of them are subject to get disintegrated. They all resolve. Which means nothing can remain permanently. Therefore, this this sthula and sukshma. Avidyakam sharirādi. The material products, body, mind, sense complex, all of them are what now? Ksharam, subject to change, perishable, like the water bubbles. They come and go and they are inert in nature and they are objects of knowledge. Therefore, what now? What does it mean? I the self am the knower, distinct from the known, changing, perishing, inert, material, known body, mind, sense complex. That is the meaning of the first sentence. So you are negating, first you are distinguishing. Therefore I am distinct from all of them. I am not any of them. You distinguish first. Thereafter you have to think, well, then that means if I am not all of them, then what I am? What am I then? If I am not the body, now I know very well I am not the body. I is not just the body, I is not the sense organs, I is not anything means, then what am I? So first of all, you should distinguish I from all of them. Then make it very clear, make sure that I does not mean body, mind, sense complex. Then only you know now what the I is not. But you have yet to know what I am, what I is, isn't it? What I is not is a big lesson. It is impossible for one to know what I am without having known what I am not. So first step is knowing what I am not. Knowing what I am not is what? Distinguishing I from the material, inert, perishable body, mind, sense complex. Understand? Knowing what I am not is distinguishing I from the material, perishable, changing, inert, body, mind, sense complex. Then what is the second step? Then knowing what I am. You can never, you should never go for the next step. What I am, you should not go to without having made clear what I am not. It's called distinction. Okay? Distinguishing. Naan edhu allangiradha modhala therinjikkanum. So knowing what I am not is the first step. Then only you can go for knowing what I am. And once you know what I am, you will end up what? I am consciousness. Ever pure, limitless consciousness existence, I am. This is the next step. This is the, he is teaching the methods. You see that now? Okay. Now you arrive at it. Okay, I am consciousness, etc. You arrive at it, next step. Then what should you do? How to reflect on what you understood? The verse, 31st verse tells you, it's called yukti, no? It is showing the logic. Now method is shown, how to arrive at what you are. First step he says, okay, once you arrive at what you are, then what should you do? Mananam, is it? How to do the mananam? That is said in the following three verses. Dehanyatvatname janma tired or what? Either I was sleepy, you're all okay. Dehanyatvat
Swata.
Name Janma.
Name Janma.
Jara.
Jara.
Jara Karshalaya Dayaha.
Jara Karshalaya Dayaha.
Shabdadi.
Shabdadi.
Vishayehi.
Vishayehi.
Sango.
Sango.
Nirindriyataya. Nacha Nirindriyataya Nacha. So, the first verse, he's saying step by step now. Now, it is for what? The verse is for mananam. See, what should be the shravanam knowledge? Okay? By doing the shravanam, if we get the meaning, understanding of what is said in the first 31st verse. Thereafter, what I have understood through Shravanam, how I am going to do Mananam, that is said in these following verses. Deha Anyatvat. Deha Anyatvam. Deha Anyatvam means being distinct from the body. Anyatvam means being distinct from the body is called Deha Anyatvam. Anya means other. Being other than the body, you mean being different from the body, being distinct from the body, not only just the body, being distinct from the body, mind, sense, complex. Deha anyatvat, due to the self being, I being distinct from the body, etc. I being distinct from the body, etc. Name Janma. I do not have birth. I does not have birth. I being distinct from the body, etc. As the I is different from the body, I does not have birth. I mean, understand, I do not have the birth. There is no birth for me. Me na janma. Why? What am I now? Isn't it? I am consciousness. Existence. Therefore, consciousness existence does not have birth, doesn't have beginning. Therefore, if I am consciousness existence, then what now? I do not have. There is no birth for me. Me means here, I does not have birth. The manifest knowledge also has no birth. Pure consciousness has no birth. Therefore, the manifest knowledge also has no birth. I'll give the example here. How can you say the manifest knowledge has no birth, no beginning? The pure knowledge has no beginning. Manifest knowledge also has no beginning. Look at it. If I say, now here is a book. And you are seeing the book, isn't it? You are seeing the book. And I say, how do you see the book? Because the book shines. How does the book shine? Because in the presence of the light. Isn't it? Now in the presence of the book, the opaque thing, the light is what? Reflected light. The book is taken away. Now what is there? Pure light. In the presence of the opaque, light is said to be reflected light. In the absence of the opaque, what is light? Pure light. In fact, these two adjectives have no meaning. Light is just the light. It is neither the pure light nor the reflected light. If the light gets this qualification, because of what? The presence or the absence of the opaque. Is it clear? Light gets these qualifications as what? Pure light. reflected light. These two adjectives are given to the light only because of what? Presence or absence of the opaque. But light by itself, just the light. Is it clear? Now, pure, without the pure light, can there be reflected light? Tell me. Without the pure light, there cannot be reflected light, which means the light is just the light. Therefore, can we say the pure light has no beginning? Therefore, reflected light also has no beginning. Is it clear now? Is it clear or not? Pure light has no beginning. Reflected light also has no beginning. Which means what? We don't need to say that. The reflected light is nothing but pure light. Reflected light is nothing but pure light. There is no such thing called reflected light. What is there is just the light. Example, we have to use example first. Then I take to this. Is it clear? Similarly, what is this manifest knowledge? The vritti, I vritti is there, then there is manifestation of knowledge. Vritti is not there, pure knowledge. The mind is functional, manifestation of knowledge. Mind is non-functional, pure knowledge. There's only knowledge. Jnanam Brahma. Okay, there's only consciousness, only knowledge. And we call it pure knowledge and manifest knowledge. Why? In the presence of the thought, then we call it pure manifest knowledge. In the absence of the thought, pure knowledge. Really speaking, knowledge is just the knowledge. It's not ever impure. Therefore, when you say it has no beginning, what has beginning now? Suppose the book comes in between. Book comes, beginning. Book goes, end. Book comes, beginning of the book. Book goes, end of the book. But pure light or the reflected light has no beginning, no end. Is it clear? Similarly, what is this I? Manifest knowledge. In the presence of thought, I is what? Manifest knowledge. I is not means what? Pure knowledge. Manifestation is there. Manifestation of knowledge is I. I is manifest knowledge. The thought is not there. What is there? Pure knowledge. I manifest knowledge. I is not there. Pure knowledge. I manifest knowledge. I is not pure knowledge. When is manifestation of knowledge? When the manifesting medium, the thought is, there is manifestation of knowledge. Thought is not, there is pure knowledge. Is it clear or not? This is a very subtle lesson. Therefore, what should you understand now? I am distinct from, I is distinct from the body. Due to the I being distinct from the body, due to its being distinct, different from the body, I has no beginning. I has no birth. What does it mean? I also has no birth. Why? Why I has no birth? Because I is nothing but consciousness. I am consciousness. Consciousness has no beginning, no birth. I am consciousness. Therefore, I have no birth, no beginning. Is it clear? Therefore, name janma, there is no birth for me. Why there is no birth for me? Because I am distinct from the body, mind, sense complex. What am I? I am consciousness, distinct from, different from the body, mind, sense complex. Therefore, there is no birth for me. Then you can say everything else, you can add now. Na jara, that jara also, jara means old age. There is no old age for I. There is no old age for me. There is no old age for me. I don't get old. I does not become old. Body ages, is it? Body becomes old. Body gets old. But manifest knowledge does not become old. Why? Because pure knowledge does. Manifest knowledge is nothing but pure knowledge. Pure knowledge doesn't become old. Isn't it? Doesn't grow. Therefore, najara. Karshya layadayaha. Karshyam. Karshya means no becoming. Declining. Jara, old age, then so slowly declining. Then laya means death. Death. Adayaha means etc. So all the changes we see on the part of the body. We see the birth. We see this old age, is it? We see getting old, body is born and body gets old and body starts declining, decaying, decay of the body, old age, no? The old age of the body. Also we see what now? Death of the body. So all the change, etc. Adayaha means etc. Like all these different modifications and changes which take place on the part of the body are not there for me. Why? Because I am distinct from the body. This is the meaning of the first sentence. I am distinct from the body and all these changes, what are the changes? Karshyam, layaha, jara, janma, adayaha, birth, death, decay, old age. You can add some more also. Diseases, afflictions, pains, etc. All these belong to the physical body. And I am distinct from the physical body. Therefore, I do not have all of them. Which means what? They are all these things, all the changes which are seen on the part of the body are not there for me. Is called objectivity, okay? Being objective towards one's own body. Being objective towards one's own body. Which means you should know very clearly what I am distinct from the body means. You should know first what now. I am not the first what I am not. Then you should also know what I am. You have to remember this. Reflected face is the original face. Reflected face in the mirror is nothing but the original face. Original face is not the reflected face. Similarly, pure knowledge is not the manifest knowledge. But the manifest knowledge is nothing but pure knowledge. The original light is not the reflected light, but the reflected light is nothing but original light. Is it clear? Therefore, what is this I? I am manifest knowledge. What is, therefore, what is manifest knowledge? Pure knowledge. Therefore, what am I? I am pure consciousness. Therefore, what? I am distinct from the body. Therefore, what? There is no birth, death, decay, old age, etc., which are seen on the part of the body. They are not there for me. This is called mananam. Okay? This is thinking again, thinking. So the 31st verse tells you what should Shravanam give you, what should Shravanam help you to arrive at, then how you do the mananam, next verse. Then, Shabdadi Vishayehi Sangaha Na. Therefore, Sangaha Na. There is no touch. There is no association or attachment for me with any of the external objects, such as perceived or perceptible objects, such as sound, etc. Shabdadi Vishayehi Na Sangaha. Am I associated with external perceptible objects such as sound, etc., sound, form, color, light, taste, touch, all these objects? Do I touch them? Am I touched by of the objects? Do I touch the objects or do the objects touch me? I do not touch, nor do the objects touch me. There is no sangha. There is no attachment, there is no touch, there is no tainting, isn't it? Nothing touches. There is no association with any of the external objects. Why? Because I am distinct from the body. I am distinct from the sense powers also. Each sense power is what? Each sense power alone comes in contact with its corresponding sense object. I am distinct from the sense powers also. Therefore, the sense power comes in contact with the sense object. But am I coming in contact with sense object? No. So he says, Shabdadi Vishayehi Sangaha. Why? Because Nirindriyataya. Because consciousness does not have Nirindriyata. Nirindriyata means being devoid of sense organs. Not having sense organs is called Nirindriyata. Nirindriyata means what? Indriyam means sense organ. Indriyata means having sense organs. Nirindriyata means not having sense organs. Being devoid of sense organs, I do not have any association with sense objects also. Which means what? I am manifestation of pure knowledge, distinct from the known sense, known body, mind, sense complex. I am distinct, therefore, consciousness does not have sense organs. Therefore, what? I am consciousness, I does not have sense organs. Is it clear? The manifest knowledge, the pure knowledge does not have sense organs. The manifest knowledge also does not have sense organs. Why? Manifest knowledge is pure knowledge. Therefore, I do not have sense organs. Due to not having sense organs, there is no association for me, connection for me with any of the sense objects such as sound, etc. If I have sense organs, then I can say what? I have association, connection with the sense objects. Does consciousness have anything to do with the sense object? No. Is it clear or not? No, what is manifestation of knowledge must be very clear. Only then you can understand this beautifully. As I taught you the difference initially, pure light and reflected light. That example you should remember. Nirindriyataya nacha shabdadi vishayehi sangaha. I am distinct from the body, therefore I do not have old age, death, etc. I do not have sense organs, therefore I have no association with the sense objects. I have an ear, I have a nose, I have a tongue, I have a mind, I have an intellect. We say that I have. We have to say what? I does not have. I does not have. First you have to learn that. Then you have to say what now? Then you can say I don't have. Isn't it? I have eyes. I have nose. I have... What Shastram says? No. Relatively, in transaction, you can talk about. But you should remember absolutely, I does not have the sense organs. Sense organs are, that's fine. But I have is the wrong expression. I am, sense organs are, we say you're right. How to say now? How should we say that? I am, body is, mind is, thoughts are, sense organs are, the world is. If you say it's a right sentence, Vedantic sentence. I am, everything else is. Fine. I have, if you say, you have made what now? Possessor-possessed connection, isn't it? I am, you can say I also am, leave am. I is. Thoughts are, sense organs are, body is, everything else is, objects are, perceptions are, everything is fine. But you don't say that, isn't it? I have eyes, I have nose, I have mind, eyes, that's why we have that. Therefore he says what? Nirindriyata, nirindriyataya. Because I do not have any sense organs, I have no contact or association with sense objects also. What am I? I am pure, ever pure consciousness, existence, distinct from the gross and subtle bodies. Okay, I'll stop here. Actually, two more verses he is presenting, which we'll see next class. Because mind comes, I won't take more time. Next verse is really beautiful. Two more verses are very, very beautiful verses, for which we need more time. Especially mind comes. Now he talks about mind, sense organs in the body in this verse. He goes to the mind later on. So we'll do next class. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Harihi Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.